Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, S.W. Konser, and today we're talking with two groundbreaking filmmakers who have recently been named recipients of the Oregon Media Arts Fellowship. Masami Kawai is a Los Angeles-born filmmaker, now teaching cinema studies at the University of Oregon. She's been a community organizer, a documentarian, and a selected director in the Francis Ford Coppola one-act play series. Reed Harkness is a self-taught director and cinematographer who was recently selected as a Film Independent Fellow and participated in their documentary lab and fast track programs. And Brian Rogers is the executive director of the Oregon Arts Commission, which oversees the Oregon Media Arts Fellowship Awards. Masami, Reed, Brian, welcome to Words and Pictures.
Thanks. Good to be on the show.
Be here.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. This is cool.
Brian, I want to start out with a little bit of background. Can you give us an overview of the Oregon Arts Commission and its media arts programming?
Sure. The Oregon Arts Commission has been around for about 54 years, and we support artists and arts organizations all across the state. We receive money from the Oregon legislature and a good amount from the National Endowment for the Arts. And we also receive other funds from other funders like the Ford Family Foundation. And we most recently put together a joint partnership with the Oregon Community Foundation and the Miller Foundation to put together a artist relief program a couple months back to help artists. And we had 1,200 applications. We're able to fund 621 of those. So that was really exciting to hear from folks that, basically said that funding saved them. You know, they were able to pay their rent, put food on the table. And I always say artists are essentially small businesses, that we have to recognize that artists play a big role in the community and our cultural well-being. And it's important that we, you know, do what we can to support artists. In fact, when I buy gifts, it's always an Oregon artist that I purchase to give to somebody. And we also have a program. I mentioned the Ford Family Foundation. We have a program with the Ford Family Foundation to do a career opportunity program where artists can apply to us for opportunities that they want to take advantage of. So like residencies or exhibitions or anything like, or big conferences that they're performing at. So, we do everything we can to make sure that artists are supported and promoted across the state. So this program, the Media Arts Fellowship, is we've had a fellowship program for a long time. It's in partnership with the Northwest Film Center. They administer the program on our behalf because their connection with the film and video media arts world is much greater than ours, you know, because of our, we have capacity, but Northwest Film Center does a fabulous job, and Ben Pop there loved going to the programming that they do, you know, last year, a couple years ago. And, it's always good to see and support media artists in this way. So congratulations to both of you. We're excited and honored that you received fellowship funding from the Oregon Arts Commission in partnership with Northwest Film Center.
So about the Media Arts Fellowship, what about Reed and Masami's work just stood out? Was it something in particular, or was it just the overwhelming body of work, or was it just a vision that they had for future work?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. Our recommendations for fellowships are not staff driven. We use peer review panels. And I want to say thank you to the three jurors, Ron Craig, Nori Coley, and Devin Fiefend too, and they reviewed all of the work and adjudicated it and ranked and scored, et cetera. And your two guests here today, rose to the top, as they say. So it's always good in a process like this to use a panel, a group of folks who spend their life and their career in this kind of work.
Well, Reed and Masami, one of the things that you share is that you've both been working on films that tackle climate issues and the ways that people have been dealing with them, sometimes destructively, sometimes with creativity. Masami, let's start with a little short film of yours that's just about to hit the festival circuit. It's called Zona, and it's set in a Los Angeles of the not too distant future.
Yeah, this is a work that's coming out now, not the work I applied to for the Oregon Arts Media Arts Fellowship. But no, I mean, climate change, the climate crisis is clearly on all of our minds, especially in the West. We just experienced the horrendous fires in Oregon, and it was just up and down the coast here on the West Coast. So I think it's pretty evident, even in such a lush place like Eugene, that you know, the climate crisis is happening. And so the inspiration of this film comes from my mom lives in Little Tokyo in Los Angeles, and it's really stark in the summer, and there's a lot of unhoused people in Los Angeles, and you know, you see people without water, and you just wonder, how are they navigating? And also, if you grew up in Los Angeles, you don't really drink the water from the faucet. And so what would happen is my mom would go to the local like water place where you can get filtered water. And she's like a 4'10", small Japanese immigrant woman who's carrying this gallon of water, you know, through the streets of Los Angeles to take it home. So some of this imagery just like was so startling. And so I actually worked with my mom on this film. So I used, she was trained as an actor in her young life in Japan. However, coming to the US, she wasn't able to pursue acting. She was undocumented and worked in restaurants, essentially. So upon coming to the US, she didn't pursue her creativity and her art. So I love casting her. And so I built a story around her, which is giving an older Asian immigrant character a moral dilemma. What do you do when there's not enough water? And do you share or do you not share? And so I love seeing specifically older Asian immigrant characters on screen, especially in light of all the recent hate crimes that are happening right now against older Asian immigrants. So I think it's great to really humanize and show the moral dilemmas of being a person in the story. So I really enjoyed collaborating with her and creating this film with her. And it's just starting to like hit the film circuit, and we're lucky to be having a screening, our first in-person screening at Palm Springs Short Fest.
You mentioned your mom, and when you were an undergraduate back in Hampshire College, you did a thesis project, and it was an experimental documentary about trying to convince your mom, and you mentioned she worked in the restaurant industry, trying to convince your mom to become a union organizer.
Yeah, yeah. That was, you know, when I first got into film, I was very much introduced in video art and sort of the feminist video kind of scene. And I think I was really critical of film and like the legacy of ethnographies. And so it was, yeah, it was experimental. It was really self-reflexive. It was very much, trying to get my mom to become a union organizer and getting her to kind of, you know, just experiment and play with me with the camera. So it was quite a different form than I work in now. I since then went to film school and got trained in like kind of classic narrative filmmaking. However, my work now currently is probably a little bit more in the art cinema. It's a little bit more minimal. So it still pushes the form, but in a different direction.
Now, Reed, Masami was talking about the wildfires that have been plaguing the West Coast these past few years. And this is right in your wheelhouse. You directed an award-winning short documentary called Forest on Fire about the Columbia River Gorge wildfire back in 2017. And since then, you've been creating a series of short documentaries for Topic Studios. They're called House on Fire. And this is where people are asked, just told out of the blue, okay, your house is on fire. You only have 2 minutes to save one thing. What do you save? So yeah, tell us about this project and what inspired this thread that that you've been working with.
Yeah, I mean, the primary connection is to this place that we live in, the Pacific Northwest, which is like, we're surrounded by green, lush things and all these, you know, I love hiking. I love being in the outdoors. I love fresh air. And, you know, in the last few years, as we've seen these devastating fires, it's just really done something to me. So that first film about the Eagle Creek fire and the trapped hikers and the people that were most affected by the fires directly was an exploration of like, what does this mean? You know, how are people going to respond to things like this? It's pretty clear from the science that this is going to be a pattern that's going to keep returning. So like, how do we humans deal with that? The House on Fire project was something that I actually came up with like 10 years ago. And I just had it kind of filed away. And after doing that Forest on Fire project, which I named based on the House on Fire, knowing that I wanted to do that at some point, I really used it as a springboard to further investigate the human relationship to disaster, as I see it, but in a lighthearted way. Because I think that, like, you know, when we hear doom and gloom in the media, on the news, it's so soul crushing and so inhuman. So wanted to do these pieces where we get to just like connect with people over, you know, hey, if you're going to lose it all, what is the one thing that you would save? And like, the amazing thing is people come out and they're surprised by what they save. It's almost like, maybe they've thought about it, but they've never really told anyone. So we get the privilege of like experiencing this really meaningful connection with people. And the way that we did the first short season is it's all Oregon-based communities. And we're looking at a range of very diverse communities. Like, we went into Dignity Village and just filmed with those people. And that's an episode.
Dignity Village is a community for the houseless, where right. They've been allowed to have a reliable space and come together and make their own rules and be self-governing.
Right. So we did an episode that was Dignity Village and Kenton Women's Village combined. And then we did an episode that's like Happy Valley, which is like the most rapidly growing community we have in Oregon, you know, really high income, very concerned with like neatness and safety. And those themes come out through what they chose to save. So it's very much about what is the new American dream and like, you know, what are we doing and what are we thinking about?
Now in Forest on Fire, that can be a little bit more exciting because you're talking to people who have really been in that situation of all of a sudden this place is on fire, this hiking trail and the community surrounding it. So there were 150 day hikers who had to hike out 20 miles. There were people who had to be evacuated from their homes. And you talked to all of these folks, or many of them.
To be honest, I'm not a huge hiker. That's what was kind of funny to find me at Eagle Creek. I just brought my car key and left water and phone and everything in the car. And I was kind of celebrating that feeling of just being really light and unencumbered. I came to this part of the trail where I came upon a big group of people. And then there's this big view of the valley and you can see the steep sides, all forested. I remember there were these girls to my left, and then I remember these two boys to my right. One was really tall and one was pretty short. And I saw the shorter one just lob something that was on fire. And it was just sort of this casual overhand lob as we all just kind of leaned over and watched this thing just fall deep. Couldn't see where it landed. I think what I said was, do you realize how dangerous that is? There was just sort of this reaction from the girls behind me of like, heh heh. And then they continued down the trail. And I remember just thinking, wow, that's crazy.
Now, when you were making a documentary, I mean, you come in with some information, maybe some presuppositions. And, you know, if you're responsible as a filmmaker and as a storyteller, you don't necessarily come out with the same attitude. You learn something yourself along the way. Your project changes along the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the current project that I think that the panel probably selected me for this is a very, very long-term project. I've been working on it for almost 24 years. The very start of my filmmaking, I just, it's a lifelong project, and it's called Sam Now. It's about my younger brother, who's my half-brother. And I track him basically growing up from 11 to present day, where he's in his mid-30s, dealing with a very significant life trauma of his mom, who's my stepmom, leaving one day out of the blue.
Now, this is a film project that you started at age 18. And according to your bio, you attended film school, we'll put that in quotes, in your backyard and garage. So this was something that you just, what happened? You just picked up a camera one day and started filming Sam?
Yeah, I think that a lot of creative people, like maybe you don't have the opportunities laid out in front of you for what to do with that energy. And I think that what I decided to do as a young person was like, I knew that I needed to do something about how I was feeling, right? But I didn't see like the avenues. So I just started trying to create it myself. And I think what came of that was like a really unique perspective. Like what we get to see in Sam Now is this whole layer of experimental filmmaking that I'm doing as a very young person, and how that takes me from kind of these creative and artistic impulses to like, you know, shoot everything, like shoot my brother, not just growing up, but all of these really like youthful scenes that like depict like strange emotions from youth. Where that leads is into this documentary, this long-term film that is like exploring suppression and trauma and all of these really big ideas. But we have this like great archive of material of Sam and me making films together to kind of create this great, great background and kind of world. There's a million things I could say about this, but.
Well, you're wrapping up the project, it sounds like, after about 20 years. And it sounds like this project got started even before Richard Linklater started his Boyhood project. So you've been producing it even longer than he has.
You know, when I first heard about that project, I was really nervous. You know, like sometimes you hear about projects and you're just like, oh my God, somebody beat me to it or whatever, right? But then I saw it and it's something completely different and I love it. And, you know, I'm so glad to be a filmmaker that is working in similar capacities as Richard Linklater or Michael Apted, or there's a bunch of them out there. But yeah, this is a project that like, it's required this amount of time. It's like, in order to see the whole arc of the film, it needed this amount of time, and Sam needed to develop over this amount of time. And maybe I did too, but you know, it's really cool. It's really cool to be wrapping it up this year.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, SW Conser. And my guests today are Oregon Media Arts Fellowship recipients, Misami Kawai and Reed Harkness, along with Brian Rogers, Executive Director of the Oregon Arts Commission. Now, Brian, I want to ask you, for the benefit of our listeners, how can people find out more about what the Oregon Arts Commission is doing and the projects that Misami and Reed have out there? Yeah, give us some more information about how our listeners can find out more.
Yeah, sure. Our website is OregonArtsCommission.org, and it's very logically laid out with grant programs and impact and resources. And also our news section has a lot of press releases.
Well, let's talk about upcoming projects, future projects. Misami, you have an upcoming feature film that follows an old TV VCR combo set after it's been discarded. And tell us a little bit about what this film is. You have this set. It's sort of a MacGuffin. It's sort of an object that circulates in an Oregon town and sparks some interesting conversations.
Yeah, I mean, this is the project that I was awarded with. And so basically, structurally, it's quite different than a traditional like three-act structure where you follow a hero. But there is a tradition of doing this, like Winchester 73, you know, the Anthony Mann film, or O Hazard Balthasar with the donkey. So it's a structure that has been used before. So it's very much, we're going to use this object, which is the old combo VCR television. And as it's discarded, it travels between different characters. And most of our characters are going to be working class and predominantly people of color. And, you know, this was sort of my realization of how few films in Oregon are centered around people of color. And so I really wanted to highlight the way we're here. And because of Oregon's particular white supremacist history, where, you know, people of color it didn't develop like in California or Washington, where people of color communities could have developed. I mean, so the way in which people of color communities, especially in something like Eugene, Springfield area, were spread out, were dispersed, were smaller than something like in Seattle or in Washington. So what this object is doing is kind of trying to create the ways in which we're connected, you know, that it's a multi-character story to kind of give a tapestry of the life of working class people of color in this small Oregon town. So it comes out of, you know, my early observations of this town, and also based on different relationships I have with people. So I'm really excited. I'm in the development process. I'm still raising money. So if you're interested in this project, feel free to you know, send me cash. But I'm looking to build a team and really develop an internship program for women of color within this production. So my approach to filmmaking is finally mirroring my commitments to social justice and my experience as an organizer. And I'm really going to learn through this project, really kind of combine my two passions and figure out a way to make films in my own way. Like, I was very much trained in the typical 12-hour day, like very hierarchical setup in kind of classic Hollywood filmmaking, but it never sat well with me. And so I need to find a process that feels right for bringing in non-professional actors, for shooting in communities, for ways to bring in like teaching within the filmmaking process. I'm also an educator. I'm at the University of Oregon. Like, so all of these parts of me are really combining, and kind of I'm excited to explore this project to also find a more accurate way of an art process that fits my vision as a filmmaker. So it's both process and the project itself that I'm very excited about. And I really look forward to maybe offline, like connecting with you, Reed, and hearing more about the Oregon filmmaking community, because I've mostly made work in Los Angeles. So I'm really excited to build connections here.
Well, Masami, Reed, Brian, it's been a pleasure to talk with you all today. How can listeners find out more about your work and about the Oregon Arts Commission, about the Northwest Film Center, and all of the upcoming projects?
I guess I'll just jump in. This is Brian. Yeah, so it's the OregonArtsCommission.com, and there's links to our grant programs and services, and I encourage people to sign up to the newsletter. And also just want to make a little plug for what I think is a pretty cool project the Hollywood Theater has at the Portland Airport, where they show a lot of independent short pieces. And every time I need to fly somewhere, I go early so I could check out the work. And I encourage folks to participate in that as well. I think it's a great way to expose people who may not seek out or go to, you know, independent film. You can see people kind of stumbling in there, and then sort of their whole demeanor changes when they come out. And I think the connection we were talking about, that the two artists here today, is very, very personal on a lot of levels. And, you know, you feel that by watching people explore what others are thinking in a visual and narrative way.
And it's free.
Yeah.
Well, Reed, how can people find out more about your work?
You can check out my work at my website, haha.work, or the movie, the long-term documentary, feature-length documentary about my family and brother, samnowmovie.com. We'll have info about that. Yeah, those two places.
And Masami?
You can find me at masamikawai.com, and I will have updates with my upcoming project, but you can definitely see links from my other work. Some stuff is password required because it's still on the film circuit. So, but feel free to reach out to me. There's a place to contact me. I'd love to connect.
Well, thanks again to all of you. You've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, SW Conser. And my guests today have been Oregon Media Arts Fellowship recipients, Reed Harkness and Masami Kawai, along with Brian Rogers, Executive Director of the Oregon Arts Commission. Thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web, and to the Oregon Media Production Association for their support and collaboration. You can find an archived version of this show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on Twitter @wordsandpicture.